Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing bong, whatever, bing, bing bong. Nothing like doing it again because I forgot to press record, James.
Unbelievable. But at the same time, pretty standard stuff around here. You
correct.
Know what I mean?
Welcome, welcome one, welcome all to Suggestible Podcast, a podcast where we recommend you things to watch, read and listen to. My name is Claire Tonti. James Clement is also here. We are married. We are coming off a sugar high because I made chocolate cake tonight.
I'm not feeling very good, Claire, I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of sugar, a lot of cake and a lot of cream.
Yeah, you've also made a delicious slow-cooked meal. So we've all in all had a very heavy old time.
Very bougie.
In the tum-tum. It was my delicious Nigella Lawson Oliver or chocolate oval cake. For those who followed my newsletter, which is on hiatus again.
Oh, wow. Is it really?
Yes.
Shock.
I know. Anyway, but that recipe is in there somewhere in the archive. It's a delight.
Great.
Shall we get started? Enough of this.
Yeah, let's enough banter.
God, too much bantering, enough.
People don't want banter. They want a list of things they can watch.
Do you know who they want? They want Santa.
What are you doing? What is that?
It rhymes.
Yeah, but that's
people
not anything.
People always want Santa. Who doesn't want a Santa to show up?
I'm not interested.
Ho, ho, ho. Who laughs like that? No one laughs like that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just a thing to get people buying presents or whatever, you know, corporate. I don't know. I don't care. I like Christmas. Anyway, what's your first recommendation?
Let's not go down that rabbit hole, Grinch. All right. So I, as promised, last week we talked for 45 minutes about the Will Smith, Chris Rock debacle.
It's true.
But in amongst that, what we actually should have talked more about is the film Coda. And I said that I would watch it because it's fantastic. And won many, many awards at the Oscars, which was kind of a little overshadowed by events. And it won 3 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. And also Troy Kotsur received critical acclaim for his performance and won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And I think the first deaf man to ever win Best Supporting Actor.
Sean Hader,
who is the director of this movie, also received praise for direction and screenplay.
Very good.
So, yeah, she is excellent in this as well. Now, for those who haven't watched it, it's so good. There may be a few little spoilers in here, though.
What is it about? Right. I don't know very little about this movie.
Oh, my goodness. It's so far up your alley, mate. It's basically called James Alley.
It's called James Alley?
I mean, they called it Coda, but they could have called it James Alley.
They should have called it James Alley. I would have watched it then.
Yeah, except now I've seen it, you can't watch it. Anyway, so it's an English language remake of the 2014 French-Belgian film La Famille Bélier.
Oh, it's a remake. I did not know that.
Yeah. Correct, exactly. Now, La Famille Bélier was released as the Bélier family in Australia anyway in 2014, and it's a coming-of-age comedy drama. So it was in French then, and they used the French sign language. Anyway, so this is obviously a remake from that. It stars Emilia Jones as the child of deaf parents, and she's the only hearing member of her family, including her brother.
Right.
So the family run a struggling fishing business, and she is kind of the main support person for her family. She's been interpreting for them since she was born, basically, as soon as she could talk and sign. And so it then appears that she loves to sing. And it kind of follows the trajectory of her being discovered as a singer by one of the teachers at the school. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of a romantic love story as well. There's a lot of commentary around what it means to be very different from your family, what it means to try and carve out your own identity, what it also means to be that kind of person within that family structure.
Yeah.
Now, what's also interesting is the love interest in this. He comes from a family who's really dysfunctional and going through divorce.
Right.
And while she sees her family in this kind of fishing town as being really strange and people make fun of them, and they're also super loving and super funny and super close. Mm. And he actually in the end is very jealous of her
before
that reason. And they're just – the cast is just – Wonderful.
Are they all deaf, I assume, the cast?
They are, yes. Yeah. So her parents and her brother are all deaf, yeah. So Ruby is played by Amelia, obviously. Now, Troy Kotsur plays her dad, and he's deaf in real life. Mm-hmm. And the sign language in this is just so animated and so beautiful. Her mum is played by Verdia Walsh-Pirlo, and she is also, I think she has actually won acting accolades before. Okay. Mm. She's just also hilarious and great. She's kind of completely different from Ruby as a central character. She's really into makeup and hair, and I think won like a pageant back in the day.
Right.
So part of their parents' relationship is the fact that they're just still passionately in love with each other. And at one point she is home with the guy that she's practicing singing with, who turns out to be her love interest, and her parents just start having sex in the other room.
But they
can't hear that she's home and practicing singing. And what is also really interesting about the dynamic, right, is that because she lives in this house of people who are deaf, they're super loud because they don't know
that they're
loud. Yeah, yeah. And I'd never thought about that before, but that makes so much sense. Like, they're just stomping around and like smashing plates, and, you know, even the way they chew, they eat, they fart, like, it's so loud. And so she's trying to study and she's just like, will you guys just quit it? And she's always like, her and her brother just like exchange insults all the time.
Yeah, right.
And that's really cool. It's kind of really, yeah, so that part of it I found really funny. And also I wondered whether some of it would resonate with families who maybe have parents who don't speak English.
Right, okay.
And who, you know, are then having to navigate and interpret for their parents in that situation as well, if they're first or second generation migrants.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would resonate with this film too, because it is very much about how much her family rely on her to make their way in the world, particularly in the fishing business, because if there are sirens and things going off, they wouldn't hear them on the boat. So technically they're not allowed to be on the boat without her there.
Right,
but she wants to go to college and sing.
She doesn't want to,
fishing town, yeah. The other part of it that I think that you would find super heartwarming is just the idea that your daughter has this incredibly beautiful voice that you'll never hear.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so you see her parents go to watch her perform and they just can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And so there's this incredibly moving scene that just made me sob, where in order for her dad to hear her sing, like, he loves rap music because it kind of vibrates through his bum while he's like singing in the car, and he has it up really loud, and that's how he experiences music. And so after she performs at this concert and everyone raves about her voice and he hasn't heard it, she sings to him again and he puts his hand on her vocal cords.
Okay,
and it's just this incredibly moving moment where he then kind of realizes that actually she should pursue this career.
Right, okay.
And there's this sort of element of fear with her mother having to kind of understand that they're very different, and she had this real fear having a daughter that wasn't deaf that she would be a terrible mother.
Yeah, okay.
And so having to parent someone that is very different from you, that is going to experience life in a different way from you and eventually leave. And that, so there's just so much in it, but it's super funny and super heartwarming and so much beautiful music. And Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Are Now, plays a big part in it. And
oh, cool.
It's just great. It's so great.
All right, I need to watch this. What did you watch it on?
I think
it's on everything at the moment.
It is. I'm pretty sure maybe Apple.
Yeah, okay.
I think I watched it on Apple. Yeah.
Cool.
It's just so, I can't recommend it highly enough. And it just leaves you feeling just so good.
Did you watch Sound of Metal as well?
You've talked about this before. They're
They're not the same, obviously, but they both have, they both focus around hearing loss. And that's amazing. That's an amazing movie too. But yeah, just wondering. Yeah. You haven't seen it?
No, yeah, it's really haven't. Good. No, okay. I'll have to see that too. Yeah, it's a really interesting kind of world to explore, because obviously when you lose one particular, you know, hearing loss or you lose your sight, then the other senses can compensate for that as well.
Yeah.
Which I find really kind of interesting to think about too. It's also being adapted into a musical.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which is cool. So by the deaf community.
Yeah, right.
So, interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
One other little tiny interesting nerdy fact is that the original movie that was done in French had some real backlash from the French deaf community because they didn't use actors who were actually deaf.
Oh, okay.
And so the French the sign language that they use is often incorrect.
Right, okay.
Whereas this, they've actually used actors who are all deaf themselves, which makes it so much richer.
Like a pretty big, like, that seems obvious that you would do that. You know
right, I know.
It just seems easier as well.
Like, yeah, you know? Right, exactly. Because there was because a lot of the French community who went to go and watch the film had to have subtitles even though they were deaf because they couldn't understand the French actors were doing.
That sounds right.
Yeah, right, exactly, which is so interesting. But then I guess that also goes into that argument of choosing actors who are actually, for example, autistic to play people who are autistic.
Yes.
Or, you know, or have all kinds of different disabilities. So
yeah, absolutely.
I find that really interesting as a – I think we're shifting. You know, I think they're starting cast more diverse people.
You were telling me before the show, though, you said woke culture is destroying.
Yeah, all right.
You said it's destroying this country.
You do that joke every
bloody
time.
I do it to
time.
Mason a lot as well.
So you are nothing if not consistent. You just like wheel out the same jokes over and over again. And the thing about you, as I've said before, they start off funny, then they get not funny, and then they come full circle again.
And then who knows where they go?
Hilarious, yeah.
From there.
Up your bum. Okay, who knows?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready for this, Claire?
I'm ready. I'm locked in. I'm loaded.
Our flag means death. That's the show I've been watching.
Okay. All right. For a minute I thought you meant the Australian flag, which, you know,
well, that is also
probably
true.
Yep, colonialism, definitely. All the things.
Definitely. Anywho,
do explain. Please explain.
So this is a show on HBO Max, but on that terrible streaming service Binge in Australia. It's created by David Kenkins. It stars Rhys Darby, who you might know as Murray from Flight of the Conchords, you know, the manager.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Taika Waititi, who you would know as a director and also he directed Boy. He's in Boy and he's Marvel movies and much other stuff. He's
so
great.
Funny and great.
And among others, like Claudia O'Doherty, and I mentioned her specifically because she's an amazing Australian comedian and actress who's, like, just very funny and very good. Mm. Anyways. It's about Steed Bonnet.
Steed Bonnet.
Yes, right. A pampered aristocrat who abandons his life.
A horse with a hat.
Yes, that's right. Pretty much. He pretty much is. Abandons his life of privilege to become a pirate in the early 18th century. Right?
Oh.
So it's basically, it's this man. He's like a gentleman's gentleman. But even among his peers, like, he's considered like a bit of a fop and a coward. And he's like, he's married into this life and he has money, but he didn't want to do it. He always wanted to be on the sea. So he's hired this group of pirates. So it's basically this like pompous, like, not blowhard. He's got a lot of good intentions, like living among these like savages, for lack of a better word. But of course, they're all also very nuanced, all of these people that he lived with. So he's trying to navigate like this absolutely horrendous kind of like circle of like death and destruction and murder and poison and people stabbing each other and famine and being shipwrecked and all of these kinds of things. But his methods are really different. Like, he's all about communication and fun, you know, and that doesn't always like apply in the world of pirates. So as a result of this, and his misadventures, he comes across the real pirate Blackbeard, who's played by Taika Waititi. And they both have been raised in completely different worlds, but also raised in certain ways where there's expectations of who they need to be. And they're kind of both trapped within that in their own way. Mm-hmm. And they're both trying to throw it off and kind of almost like meet somewhere in the middle. Like, it's very funny. Like, it's very lighthearted, but it also sort of got like bunch of social issues within it and what it means like in terms of masculinity. And it's obviously it's set in the 18th century, but it's also reflections now and the expectations of what people expect of you in society. Because there's moments where he goes back and has to kind of reconcile with his wife, and she's like, I don't want to be in this life either, like as much as you do. But it's also like on top of that, it's also super violent at times. Not like crazy gory, but, you know, there's stabbings and the things like that. There's a jar full of noses at one point.
Excellent.
Pickled noses.
Usually tracks with your choice of viewing material.
That's right. And, of course, pirates. It's just a bunch of pirate stuff. And it's pretty cool and it's pretty fun.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are there some peg legs?
I don't think there was any peg legs.
Parrots?
Maybe. Is there
any eye patches?
Yeah, there's some eye patches and
some
wooden.
Flowy Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld-esque shirts.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, he's very much fish out of water, you know, but also, like I mentioned, among his own people, he is also, like he's trying to find his place, and there's like fun and drama and like sadness and also like happiness in that. Do you know what I mean? Well, maybe he is finding his people. Do you know what I mean? And so is everybody else. And other people are realizing that, hey, you don't have to murder and stab
cut
each other all the time.
Noses off and stick them in a jar.
Yeah, but it's got like a bunch of people show up like throughout it who you'd recognize, like other like famous comedians and actors and things like that, like pop in and out, which is quite fun. But yeah, it's
so is it a comedy?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It's
big on the laughs.
On the laughs.
And, you know, it's
on the laughs, mate.
Rhys Darby, who's amazing, who has incredible comic timing, and like pairing him up with everybody who's in this. Like he does a lot of – I didn't think Taika Waititi would be in it as much as Blackbeard, because you're going to hear about this like Blackbeard character, and then he just shows up and he's just in it like a lot, which is really cool, because also he's very busy doing a million other things.
And he's so funny.
Yeah, and he's a great Blackbeard. And he's also like a little bit older, so he's like I'm Greybeard. Like I'm not even – and his heart's not in anymore. He's like, I don't want to be murdering people anymore, you know what I mean? He's just tired, you know?
Yeah.
And then him being introduced
to... resonating with this Blackbeard character.
But him meeting, like, Steve Bonnet, who's all about culture and books and adventure and fashion and all of these things, they find this common ground, which is really fun.
That's really fun. Mm. I actually think that sounds pretty good.
I think you might like it, yeah.
I think
good.
I might like it too. Did you resonate with it, James, because do you have a secret wish to run away and be a pirate?
I do not want to be. It seems awful, to be honest. It seems really terrible. But
it does seem pretty
terrible. There is something to be said for, like, more like finding your place and finding your people and all those kinds of things, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
Swashbuckling adventures.
Yeah, but it's also like...
Johnny Depp sort of drunk in a barrel.
It's a bit kind of Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah, but it's more kind of low-key. I was going to say real world. It's not really real world, but it's more kind of like...
conversational?
Yeah, that and they're like the actual implications of like what happens if you, you know, really get stranded on an island or run out of food or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and these
Is it magic?
Nah,
no, so that not like no. Not like Pirates of the Caribbean.
No,
we're horrible. Jeffrey Rush, problematic, awful human.
No, Claire, he got cleared, and it's not because of his excellent lawyers and legal threats.
Oh, goodness, I used to really respect his acting prowess.
Ah, it's a shame. Yeah. It's a shame. Anyway, what's your other thing?
Okay, let's move on because that's depressing. Also, Louis C.K. bloody just revived his own career, didn't he?
Yeah,
totally fine, apparently. Bloody hell.
I don't know. I haven't listened to any of his stuff since or whatever.
Nobody, didn't he just win
No,
an
he did
award?
Win an Emmy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that, but yeah.
Like.
He'll always have an audience. It's just
yeah, I know. It's just, anyway. Mm. Great. Okay, let's talk about something fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am so delighted to remind everyone, in case anyone forgot, that Bridgerton is so fun and I loved it.
I loved it.
I'm probably the only one in the world who loved it.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
Everyone bloody loved it. Anyway, season one, if you don't remember, was just like a feast for the eyes. It's a bit like Pride and Prejudice but updated for the modern day.
Modern
and
music.
And it's based on a book series. Now, the first season starred Phoebe Dynevor.
Perfect.
God, I can't talk today. As Daphne Bridgerton, and her leading man, Simon Bassett, the Duke of Hastings, was played by the internet's favorite human being, Reggae Jean-Paul Page.
That's right.
Paul Page. Let me try that again, colleagues. Good God, you could take all this out. Leading man, Reggae Jean Page. I did it.
Wow.
I did it. Anyway, season two has come back in the last month, so.
And all and your favourites are there.
All your favourites are there. Now,
some of your
favourites. Now, Bridgerton is famous for building up a whole lot of, like, wonderful, sexy tension Ooh. With also, like, incredible costuming, just, like, all the colour and all the delicious fun and gossip and just brilliant. And season two, I feel, delivers and is just as good. Some people would argue that it's a little less – well, it's quite a lot less raunchy and therefore they preferred season one. I, however, think that they are both equally as excellent.
Oh.
Yes, and I really loved it. Now, Bridgerton season two, instead of following Daphne's storyline because she, spoiler alert, marries the Duke of Hastings and is like happily entrenched with a child and la la la.
Very good.
It now follows her brother, Anthony Bridgerton, played wonderfully by Jonathan Bailey, and his quest to find a Viscountess. So he's kind of like the head of the Bridgerton household, and because their father passed away, in the very first episode it sets up that he was actually there when his dad died, and his dad was bitten by a bee sting. And so it kind of...
But he died from a bee.
Yeah, he died from a bee.
An allergic reaction.
An allergic reaction anyway. And so, and his mother was pregnant at the time. There's a whole kind of drama. So it has a few flashbacks to that and kind of fleshes out his character a lot more, because in the first season he was in it in so far that he was kind of having a secret love affair with an opera singer. But he was very... I guess sort of closed emotionally and more of a, you know, like a fun party guy, and right. couldn't ever commit to her. And it becomes very clear why, because he has a whole lot of issues based around the fact that he was so young when his dad died and he had to take on all this responsibility, and he saw love as being a means to be hurt because his mother, he saw his mother go through agony because her and her husband were so in love. And so he kind of resigned himself to the fact that he would never hurt someone like that or hurt himself like that, so he would never love.
Wow, it sounds very Mr. Darcy. Just a it guy's
completely
like,
is.
I don't have time for love. I'm too busy being proper and protecting
Correct.
Myself.
Exactly. Enter the Sharma sisters. So Kate, played by Simone Ashley, and Edwina, Sharithra Chadran. And they sort of enter the scene as the new family. So everyone else are recurring characters, but these two come in and immediately sparks fly.
Wow. Everyone's like, wow. Is that what everyone's saying?
Wow.
Wow, look at
well,
this dude.
So in the very first episode, Kate is like very headstrong and very smart, and she's 26, so she's a little bit older.
Oh, over the hill.
In the world.
Give
and
it
she's
up.
She's like an avid horse rider, which is frowned upon in the Bridgerton universe. Well, women can't be on horses, especially alone. Anyway,
side
so
saddle
she's like,
or regular
no,
saddle?
No, regular saddle.
Oh, my God.
She's really breaking all the barriers. And so
Why?
She's like riding and riding away on the horse, and then he like sees her and thinks that she's distressed or something, and it turns out she just races him and beats him. And then he's kind of met his match.
Oh.
And so it... The second book is apparently one of the most anticipated for this remake because it's very Elizabeth, Mr. Darcy-esque.
I'm seeing a lot of parallels there.
Very much so. Like
especially the bees thing. Didn't that happen in Pride and Prejudice? There's that bee attack, isn't there?
No.
At the start, kills like half the people in that book. The first 10 pages are just like, and there were so many bees and the bees just kept coming into the room.
It's Pride and Prejudice, bee catastrophe.
It turns out there was
bee invasion.
Yeah. Turns out there was a man shoveling bees
turns
into the room.
Turns out they all had a lot of bees in their bonnets.
Oh,
am
very
I right?
Good,
Thank
very
you
good.
For coming in a high five.
That's... Thank it wasn't you. Just a rhyme. You did the right thing. That was good.
Yeah, I know. Most of my jokes, if anyone hasn't noticed, aren't really jokes.
No.
They're mainly me making an accidental joke or rhyming.
Does it make you laugh?
Or just repeating a phrase in a slightly different intonation.
No, I
and
love
yes,
that.
And yes, it absolutely does make
then
me
don't
laugh.
Even worry about
or
it.
Or just making fun of you, one of my favourite pastimes. Anyway, let's get back to the world of Bridgerton because the world is gloomy enough. Let's get back into some sexy dancing. And so Kate is obviously like super bright and smart, but she is the stepdaughter of her mother, and her father passed away. And her it turns out that her mother was kind of ostracized from society when she married a clerk instead of marrying like a fancy man.
Oh my
and so
God.
She left to go to India and then has now brought the daughters back because her father, her husband died. And now Edwina is kind of the younger sister, and Kate has kind of taken it upon herself to make sure that Edwina makes a very good match
right,
so
okay.
that the family won't be destitute. And so Kate then obviously there's this sort of funny thing where Edwina is kind of destined to go into the path of Anthony Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And so Kate keeps pushing her sister on him, even though they clearly have all this chemistry and all the things. But he
that's
doesn't.
Very Hamilton as
it
well.
It is, exactly. And he actually clearly is like head over heels for Kate and they argue all the time and kind of hate each other.
Oh, do they though?
They do. Well, exactly. And
do, do the bees show up again?
Yes, she gets stung.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And that's where the, like, the first moment where he, like, she gets stung on her bosom and he, like, has a panic attack and she puts her his hand on there on the bee sting and it's like, it's just a bee sting. Because it happens in the same spot as his dad passed away. And she doesn't know at the time why he has this massive freak out and they have this, like, heavy breathing and, like, tension and and then later and she finds out that's how his dad died. And anyway, so she helps him to unpack all his emotional baggage while also arguing with his
Is he allergic to bees?
No. And she's not either.
How do you know? Is he stung by any bees?
Well, no, that's true. He wasn't in the show. Ooh. Who knows?
Wow.
Anyway.
Didn't his father carry an EpiPen?
Well, no, not back in the day. Should
Yeah, but
though?
Bridgerton's modernised.
All right,
so
you're just ruining.
I'm not ruining. I'm just asking questions. I'm just the guy who asks questions.
All right.
Anyway, sorry, go
anyway,
on.
Anyway, so the Queen declares Edwina, her younger sister, the diamond of the season. And I don't remember from season one, but if you declare the diamond, you're like the favourite of the Queen
is
and destined to make the best love.
Does it just mean you're hot? Is that what it
yeah,
means?
Yeah, kind of basically. You're just like the most epic catch and so all the bachelors sort of follow you.
Oh, man, I wish I was the diamond of the season. That'd be fucking sick.
I do too. I'm married a rock. Just like a garden stone.
Wait, so is there like a male equivalent to the diamond?
No.
Interesting.
I know. It's almost like it was very sexist.
Well, anywho. I think it's sexist that there's no male diamonds. What's the gem equivalent of a man? What's that? Quartz?
Quartz. Yeah,
Or is that a mineral? People don't like how I say mineral. They write it and they say stop saying
mineral.
It like that.
Mineral.
Mineral.
Mineral. Minerale.
Can you please pass me the mineral water?
That's how you say it, isn't it? Mineral.
It's mineral, isn't it?
No, it's mineral.
Mineral.
I think you say it fine.
Mineral.
Okay, now you're saying it weird because what's happening is you're saying a word and if you say it too many times it suddenly starts sounding really weird.
That's true.
Anyway, yeah, so there's lots of other kind of interweaving storylines with this as well and they explore, you know, some other characters as well in their trajectories. But really the main storyline is all about the tension between Kate and Anthony and will they or won't they get together and all the things.
Let me spoil it for you right now.
Yes.
They both get killed by bees, right?
Correct, exactly. Anyway, I really enjoyed it and it was so much fun and it's just really binge-worthy and just a world that I want to exist in and, yeah, it was great. And the cast is, like, diverse. It's interesting it's come under some criticism because the cast is really diverse.
But?
And no, and they just don't mention it. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, there's no kind of class divides or any of that stuff based around race. And that
so what's
I think,
the controversy?
I know,
then?
Right? Because I thought that was
that's
the thing.
The controversy.
But
that it's not historically accurate.
Partly, but also I guess maybe there's commentary that is just completely unrealistic.
Yeah, that's that's true. But it's a fantasy, right?
Exactly right. And and then there's most of the things I've read have said, and I mean, I don't know, I agree with that. This commentary that it's just really cool to see. Different types of women, particularly in different roles.
Yeah.
And that it's not a pointed thing. It's just part of a story, which is great. Anyway, I really loved it and I think it's awesome. And the music as well, it's all really, as the first season was, really great pop music done in the Pride and Prejudice vibe, which is also just so good. So the soundtrack is
sick.
Epic.
What do you give it out of 140?
100? Moons, 100 bees.
100 bees, that'll yes. kill you. 100 bees
no,
will kill
I just,
anyone.
It's just the best. If you just want to like sail away on
Should
a
I watch
whole
it?
Lot
do you
of flowers.
Like it?
I think you might.
I don't mind a period drama.
I think you would actually. It's
and
not,
I noticed
yeah,
that of the
it's
original
really
of the original sexy couple from the first season, only one of them turns up.
Yes, you're right. I was going to say this. So Reggae Jean Page decided he was offered like $50,000 an episode or something and he
For
turned
how many
it down.
Episodes?
I don't know. I think there's like 8.
So he was going to be in each one of them.
Well, Daphne's barely in it either. So
yeah,
he's
I saw
not,
her.
He
well, I came past
character.
When you were watching it, and she was like sitting quietly at a table in a wig.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just not they would have just been in the periphery because it's not about them.
Do they come back for later books?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone's in the world. It's just each book focuses on a different – I haven't read them.
How many
but I'm
Bridgerton
assuming.
Book are there?
I don't know.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I thought that was interesting that Reggae just said, no, I signed on for 1 year and that's it. And I feel like good on him because he would definitely be pigeonholed as that particular character. He was so incredibly popular.
Oh, shit, there's like a fucking million of these.
Of the books?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you
what
go.
What order should I read the Bridgerton books?
I think you should just watch the TV shows, to be honest.
No, I'm reading it. There's a thing that was on –
Oh, okay.
Is that in the year 2000?
That's 22 years ago.
Well, thank you, Miss Math. Okay, let's move on.
All right, moving right
because
on.
I want to talk about Dog. I watched a movie called Dog. It was it's directed by Reed Carolan and also Channing Tatum, who also stars in the movie. What's it called?
Sexy Men Striptease.
It's called Dog, Claire. The movie's Dog. I said it already.
I thought you meant the other Channing Tatum movie where he stars in it called Magic Mike.
This is the movie Dog. They're doing Magic Mike 3, did you know?
I didn't know.
You're a fan of the Magic Mike movies? I don't know if you are, actually.
I thought I would be. I watched the first one. I didn't mind the first one. Yeah. I do like the dancing. Pretty fun. Like it. But then by the second one, I was like, Claire, the storyline is really lacking.
People got a lot of time for Magical Michael. You need to cut him some slack, mate.
I liked the first one. Yeah, I just wasn't that into the second one.
Okay, fair enough.
But the first one was a fun time. Apparently the stage show is actually amazing.
Yeah, I bet it bloody is, mate.
No, but like, I know people are like, but it's actually quite empowering and feminist, apparently. And I didn't see it. But, you know, good on him.
Good on him. Anyway, they're doing a third one. So he's coming back for Magic Mike's final.
All right, cool. But that is not what we're talking about. Showing is Dom. Is he in this movie?
Yes, he's in it. He stars in it. He's in the
Dog.
This is the movie Dog. Anyway.
Is he playing a dog?
No,
does
Claire.
Striptease?
Oh, God. No, I don't think so. That's very funny. That's very funny. That's very good. You've broken your own brain.
Rook and Reeve, your harrow.
Your rat on.
Anyways,
with a dog named Lulu by his side, Army Ranger Briggs, Channing Tatum.
Correct.
Races down the Pacific coast to make it to a soldier's funeral on time. Along the way, Briggs and Lulu drive each other completely crazy, break a handful of laws, narrowly evade death, and learn to let down their guard to have a fighting chance to finding happiness. So, yeah, it's essentially a dog road trip, right? They should have called it a dog road trip.
Hang on, why is it called a dog? Is there a dog with them?
Yeah, the dog is called Lulu. He has to take the dog to a funeral because the dog is a former army dog.
Oh, I see.
And they were deployed in Afghanistan together.
I see.
Has got like PTSD and has been trained a certain way and can't switch that off. And he is like, I got to look after this dog because he wants to get back in the Army Rangers. But the thing is as well, Claire.
Has he got PTSD?
He's got PTSD and he has a severe like head injury. And he's self-medicating with, like, booze and pills and stuff.
Oh, this isn't very amusing.
No, it is. It's an amusing tale, Claire, a lot of the time. And so basically you're like, man, he's like, man, I can't believe I got to do this for this dog. I can't believe I got to look after this dog. But maybe they're looking after each other. They learn a little bit from each other along the way, do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they're meeting, like, different people on the journey who have their own experiences and things like that. It's quite funny and, like, heartfelt in moments. It's pretty, like it's standard stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you won't be surprised by anything in this, but it's like, I think that's a good thing. You know what I mean? I think that's one of the strengths of it. That like, for example, because he's an army vet, he takes the dog in, he wants to get a free hotel room. So he puts on glasses and pretends to be blind and he goes into a really swanky hotel and like gets a free room. Like he, and then it kind of goes south or whatever. So there's things like that that happen like along the way. I'd imagine maybe if you're an army veteran, you might like this, or you might be like, this is fucking pandering as and I hate this. I don't know because this is not my world. But overall, like I thought it was really like it's really nice and it's fun and it's funny and it's quite, you know, touching and it's got a dog in it. It's got a nice dog in it. And they're going little adventures together. And at the end there's like a moment where he's like, I gotta leave this dog. But he's like, I don't know if I can leave this dog. I think I've formed a connection with this dog, I reckon. That's what he says.
I think I reckon.
Yeah. That's what he's saying to the camera. He stops and he does like a 4 minute monologue of like, what do you guys reckon I should do? What do you guys reckon? Write me a letter. Let me know what you think.
Should I incorporate the dog into my dance routines?
Yeah, hashtag keep the dog, hashtag kill the dog. What do I do? Yeah, no, that's again, very specific. It's on streaming. It's on like everything at the moment. I think it's also still in cinemas. But yeah, it's good. It's good. You want lovely. A nice, do you like a nice thing?
Yeah, that sounds like the Tom Hanks movie with the dog.
Yeah, it's got
well.
A bit of that kind of to it. Yeah.
A lot of man and his dog. You know what this is about? Mm. This is about the pandemic and writers spending a lot of time with their dogs at home.
That's probably true.
That's where it's
well, I think it's also based on like a true story or something, maybe. I don't know. Or based on some experiences.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And, you know, and on all of those kinds of things. And he's also like they're both readjusting to the world. Because again, this is not my experience and it's not my world. But you know, when you've been doing things overseas and you're like part of very traumatic, like you know, events, and then you get put back in the real world, you know, your perception has been completely shifted mm-hmm. about what you consider as important, and you know things are, you know what I mean? It's
yeah. Well, I mean, this is to a very small extent, but when we went up north or when we went to Africa,
yes, the thing that you're saying is the same as what I'm saying.
Stop.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
We basically went to war.
We're
volunteering in a community. No, but I do think that there is that reverse culture shock that happens.
Oh, definitely.
I've talked about this with someone recently as well, that the going into the new community is actually not the hardest part.
No.
It's the coming back and seeing the world in a completely different way, but everyone around you is exactly the same.
Yes.
I guess to a lesser extent, it's like if you go on a Kentucky tour to Europe.
Yeah, it's exactly
And you've
like
had
that.
All these adventures and you come back, you want to show all your photos and tell everyone how much you've grown as a person. And no one cares.
No one gives a
and everyone's the same. Yeah, it's not.
That's
I mean, I found supermarkets and shopping centres really difficult when we came back from Africa.
You also found the movie Sex and the City 2 very difficult, so much so that you cried afterwards.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Sorry to throw you under the bus with that. I didn't mean to, but that's a terrible movie. That was the correct reaction.
But it was so, yeah, and I...
Like look, excessive and insensitive and like just
completely
awful.
Racist tone and deaf all and, about... Yeah. Consumerism and consumption and all the worst parts of Sex and the City, and it made me relook at the whole entire series and realize how vapid it is.
But it's not though, also. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean
it's
it
not.
Is, but also,
no, the TV series has some really great writing and it was groundbreaking. Anyway, we've talked about this on our
other
podcast.
I like to think that we learned a little something though, and I like to think that like though we went there to teach, maybe we got taught something ourselves.
God,
maybe
I'm
we learned a little
all
something.
Right.
Let me finish my this revelation
you
that I'm making.
Do this with this
Let
voice.
Me just
entertain
say,
you
I
and
I think
we'll
we learned
have
something.
A real good time.
It's like with teaching. Who's teaching who? Are the kids teaching us or are we teaching them? You know what I mean? Wow, that's crazy. Claire, write that down.
I'm leaving. For the first time ever, it takes a lot for me to leave a room because I like being around people. I'm not like you, the Grinch. I'll leave. If you continue to make fun of me and all my corny, heartfelt vibes, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of this room.
Little does she know I like being alone. When she leaves, I'm like, thank God. I'm alone, finally. The thing that I want most in the world. No, that's not true, Claire. I love you and I love your personality and I love when I mispronounce your name like I did just then.
You did. You said
Do you know what
Claire.
I also love?
What?
I love when people leave reviews for this show. Just
oh, yes.
like
Me too.
MakeyZomi21 who says, love the positivity.
Ooh, maybe was there much in this one?
Maybe this review, like they've left us 5 stars.
Uh-huh.
But maybe we've both learned something from this. Do you know what I mean? Let's find out. I love how kind, honest and positive both James and Claire are. Both of us, okay. Especially when touching on heavy topics. It's like having good friends in your ear, encouraging you and making you laugh through these terrible times. Cheers. From California.
They are terrible times and you are welcome and thank you so much for writing
a
review.
Lovely review.
Do you know what? We have, as I've said before, James, the best listeners.
Oh my God, here we go.
Our little corner of the internet, all of the letters that I get, all of the tweets, people are so kind and so lovely and so funny and just thoughtful and I just think that I know that Weekly Planet has a lot of listeners, but I feel like we got the creme de la creme.
Really? Well, these are the comments that I get. For example, we had a video on the losers last week, right? And we didn't mention how Idris Elba was in The Wire and Idris Elba's in The Losers. And we made a joke about all the things that he's been in. And people were like, oh, did you know that he was actually in The Wire? I can't believe you missed that. And I want to shoot myself every time
okay.
I read one of those.
Well, that's just like a couple of our lovely listeners have left now because you've made a joke about using a weapon. Anyway, exactly, whereas our listeners would never do that. And
That's
I
true.
Love hearing from listeners. So if you're a listener and you're thinking, shame, Ellen, they probably don't need to hear from me. We do. We want to hear from you. Please
That's right,
because
we haven't got any emails this week. End of the show.
No, we have many.
Oh, what?
Anyway, one particular is from Jess. Hi,
Hello,
team.
Hello, Jess.
Oh, you can email the show like Jess has done at shazashapod@gmail.com.
Oh.
Side note. Hi, team. Just wanted to say I love your podcast on Dynamic. Thank you for sharing yourselves with the world. You're welcome.
Oh, just happy
a small
to do it.
Portion of it. Mm. On your most recent ep, you talked about self-esteem. I do, not the vibe, though, also willing to talk about self-esteem. James,
great Offspring song.
The singer.
Yes.
You know who I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
Bloody great. I do reckon you should reach out and see if she'd be keen for an interview. You never know.
Oh, wow, that'd be cool as.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I could cope. But failing that, may I recommend her interview on Sentimental Garbage and that podcast more generally?
Ah.
It's lots of clever women talking and loving things unapologetically. Now, Sentimental Garbage, oh, goodness. I love that show, particularly the one where they talked about Sentimental in the City, which is the Sex and the City podcast. Caroline Donahue hosts Sentimental Garbage, and that was the sort of Sex and the City one was the spin-off with Jolie Alderton.
Yes,
but
yes, yes,
Sentimental
yes, yes.
Garbage itself, thank you so much for the reminder, Jess, because I've been meaning to listen to more of her show and I just kind of haven't got around to it, but I heard that it's bloody fabulous because I follow her, Caroline Donahue, on Instagram, and she's so flippin' funny and great and strange, and that's my favourite thing. So thank you so much, Jess.
Wonderful. What a wonderful, delightful recommendation yes. and email.
Correct. Exactly.
If you don't mind me saying so.
I think so too. So that's it. That's the show. That's all you're here for. You got your recommendations. Now you can chuff off.
Did you hear about
on your merry little way?
You might have heard about this week called Our Place. You familiar what this is? It's basically this their old thing on the internet they revitalize for April Fool's Day. By the way, April Fool's.
That was ages ago.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You really missed it.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
You used to be into April Fools.
I'm not into anything. But
you're
listen.
Just a fool in April
so
now.
So what they, with this thing. I like to think I'm a fool in every month.
She's on fire, guys. She's on fire
so,
tonight. I feel like the dog striptease was a real highlight.
So basically what this is, I think it's incredible. And it's basically.
What is it?
Someone posted a blank canvas with 1,000 by 1,000. Pixels, right? And anybody can go to it and color a pixel, any color, and change one pixel every 10 minutes. It's every 5 minutes. So you basically had all these warring factions of people fighting for space to create an image or a word or something on this 1,000 by 1,000 canvas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got people pushing into each other's kind of territories to make like flags and imagery and like symbols or presumably a bunch of crypto shit in here as well. And anyway, it ended up, this is the newest one, it ended up being this. And I know it looks kind of like a mess, but if you zoom in, like there's all these little like details in here, you know, words and imagery and again like nations and like funny like in-jokes from certain communities. Like there's a Pink Floyd album and whatever. There's Revenge of the Sith, the Star Wars movie. Just really cool. And it's also you have to fight for your space because other people see a bunch of them are like encroaching on others.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's just super cool. There's the Mona Lisa in there, you know.
It's kind of like a humanity, James.
It is.
In a digital image.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's
so interesting.
Like it's both a nightmare and really interesting. So
it is really interesting and cool.
Mm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really cool idea. And also I feel like it's a very masculine energy thing to do.
No, Claire, there's some very
masculine. It's so masculine.
I love this one.
Even the concept of it, not being like, hey, guys, let's all make something and contribute to it. It's like, I know what we'll do. We'll just set parameters where it's 1,000 and then everyone has to fight for their art and like push in on each other's territories.
That's true.
So, yeah, and most of it is very like.
I love it. There's a bunch of Star Wars shit here.
Yeah, of course you do.
I love this this subreddit, Fuck Cars, which is basically like how now whole entire cities have been built around how. You know, like cars and lanes and traffic as opposed to like actually what's good for people and communities.
Which is
and,
like, yeah.
And public transport and ride sharing and all these kinds of things. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I totally agree with that too, just on that point, because.
This says porn. Oh, that's rude. I didn't know that there was rude things in here.
I would love to see the statistics on how many women have contributed to that.
None.
No woman has time to bloody be fighting people on the internet for pixels. That's not true. That's a real generalization. I'm sure there's many women who are contributing. I shouldn't say that. However, I would bet a lot of money on the fact that it's probably like 80-20.
Mm, yeah, no, fair enough.
Anyway, but it's very cool.
Yeah,
I like
agree.
It a lot. Yes, on that fuck cars thing, goodness me, that was a rude thing for me to say. I totally agree with you. And I think we had this argument the other day about something to do with like cities and revamping them. And I do agree with you completely because also when
Wait,
you
was
think
it an
about,
argument or was it me saying something and then you agreeing?
I can't remember.
Or was it you just agreeing because you're like,
remember we had that argument about art in cities and how you think people should stop working in the city? And I was like, but then the cities
I didn't say they should stop working in the city. I said they shouldn't. They should stop funneling people into the cities for pointless reasons to fill real estate for fucking bankers or whatever who've rented out giant office spaces and need to justify the costs. That's what I said. People should go into the city, but they should go on to, into them if they want to and under their own terms.
Yeah, and I think my point was that people just won't go in.
But they are, though.
Yeah, they're going back in because they're being asked to go in.
No, no, but like you're on the weekends and that, it's busy.
Yeah, yeah, but anyway, yeah, you're right. Anyway, I think that, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Because you think back to before we had cars, people did all the things that were good for them, like walked places and congregated together.
People used to catch tadpoles and swing on
swings.
My
God, you're so annoying. Anyway, on that note, thank you as always to Raw Collings for editing this episode and catching all the tadpoles.
Absolutely.
Great. That's a guy that would walk everywhere. Apparently he's got a new haircut. I bet it looks great.
I bet it doesn't. No, I bet it does.
All right. We've been to Decibel Podcast. Thank you. Oh, also, I have a new episode of
Tons. Oh, yeah. What's your episode this week?
This week is with Zara Biabani, and she's from an Instagram account called Soulful Seeds, which you should totally follow. She's just sharing climate change information while also doing sweet dance moves. She's over on TikTok as well.
Oh,
and
she's
a climate optimist. So she also shares weekly earth wins, and it will just make you feel better. There's a lot of stuff there that is really heavy, and the episode kind of follows why she got into doing what she does. And also we talk about Slumdog Millionaire as well and how that was an inspiration for her. And just these bloody young people, mate. She's Gen Z. She's so smart and so engaged and cares so much. And I just think they're bloody, unfortunately, going to have to save the world because of, you know, yeah, the dinosaurs out there. Anyway, it gives
it's not
me
my
so
fault.
Much hope.
I just want to stress that. It's not my fault. I didn't do it.
Specifically. Anyway, that's on Tons Podcast. And yeah.
Fantastic. Yay.
Cool. All right. Talk to you.
Yay!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.